it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Hey, welcome to the Watching for Jesus program this afternoon, the Bible study. My name is Thomas Gambill, and welcome to my Bible study for tonight, 8 to 9 o'clock. 8 to 9 we're going to cover. I'm going to hit the ground running here because tonight I want to make this a special one, sort of. I probably won't get around to the end times events till tomorrow, more than likely. I don't see it happening. Because I want to cover, because special reason, and I think it really actually does kind of go along with end times events. Because those that's following Jesus Christ, you are going to be singled out. Now, I'm assuming those attending tonight, you've heard my broadcast before. But, you know, you never can know who's there that's not heard me before. I improvise my Bible studies and everything else because I'm not a theologian, but I improvise by taking experts I know, multiple of them, and putting together a program. Sometimes the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit guides me in every case, but leads me in the right direction. That's why it's up to me to stay as straight as I can, because I am a sinner. I'm human, but I can't use that as some excuse. I see as being on the air, and you have listeners, that you have a responsibility and not an agenda. When you have an agenda, you're canceled out. You're obligated to tell the truth because people trust people of some level that you are on air, you're on a TV, you're a professor, a teacher, whatever, you have a position of authority, people begin to technically trust that person because they're given that authority. Doesn't mean it happens every time. Well, keep in mind who's in control in this world for now. Satan. He was in total control before Jesus Christ came. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose again, he lost that control. So man had a way by which he was then able to get to heaven, a means by which the wheat and the tares would be separated. Before, no. Now, yes. Before, it was Scripture trusting men of questionable character in the synagogues. That's why God sent his own out, touched by the Holy Spirit, but guided by the law. Till John the Baptist and Jeremiah laid way for the true Savior of mankind to come in. His name was Jesus. You believe in electricity. You believe in life and death. We see it. You felt it close in. You touch electricity, you get shocked. You mess with a gun, you get shot and shocked and whatever. It has repercussions. It's real. You breathe tear gas, you start crying because it affects your system. The point is, demons are just as real. This thing, and I'm going to dedicate the broadcast here in a minute, but this thing called philosophy, psychology, on and by design, has lessened the impact of the reality of demonic activity and caused it to be more, well, we're not talking about demons really. That's just a name that man has for evil. And Satan's not really real. He's a manifestation of the evil, of the thoughts of evil men. So they call him Satan. No. We call this electricity, but it's not really real. No kidding. Well, let's grab a step in that puddle of water. Okay, go ahead. It's not real, huh? Okay. Now grab that wire right there and let's see how real it's not. Whoa! Man, where'd you get that afro from, man? That hurt, I bet, didn't it? You can pick yourself off the ground now. Demons are real. Just as real as you grab an electrical circuit and the hair spread out, pew, and you fall on the ground. They're that real. They are part of physics and biology and chemistry, and they exist in a different level of vibration, frequency of vibration that you can't see, but they can operate. Philosophy has hidden them from the consciousness of man. They do exist. Like wire, like covering of a wire hides the power of electricity. But you strip that wire down, you got electricity. You strip down philosophy, that nonsense, you've got real demons. And we'll talk about that tonight. And this has to do really with end times events, now to think about it. Because they're going to come out, they're coming out now and affecting us. When you became born again, God put a mark on you. You can't see it, but God put a mark on you. That's mine. Satan says, Remember Job? To strengthen us. There's different reasons. I'll talk about that tonight. Tomorrow, definitely, we'll talk about end times events. Lord, tonight we come before you in prayer. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father, tonight we lay before you our prayers of healing. Father, of thanksgiving, and Father, of appreciation, thankfulness for your Son, Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, that can heal us, lead us, keep us in the right path, and convict us when we fall away, or if we backslide, or Father, to give us that power for us to go forward. Father, we call upon you tonight to accept us, that we lay before you our sins, that we talk to you about, Lord, that you say you'll forgive, that you promise to forgive if we lay them before you and acknowledge them. The Father, take those away from us that we have a hard time with, if it be your will. Lord, we pray for our brethren tonight. We continue to pray for Antonio and his family, Lord, for an awareness to be placed in the family. We pray for, Lord, for Brandy, to cover her with the blood of Jesus. Father, we pray for Dee, be protected. Lord, we pray for Max, that he, Lord, that he'll be protected from the place he's in, and give him strength and guidance, knowledge and wisdom, discernment to set an example. We pray for Leah and Carrie, Lord, that they'll be protected as they're being attacked. We pray for Linda, Lord. We pray for all these, Lord. But tonight, too, we pray for Virginia, Lord. We pray for Virginia. Know that, Lord, through your healing power, Lord, that she'll be cured. To protect that family, Lord. And put the blood of Jesus around them. Take that sickness away. Give them healing. Give them protection. And Father, use them in a way mightily. In all this we pray, Lord, our veterans, they're being targeted, Lord, by design. Set divine appointments to take away the thoughts of suicide. Lord, we pray for children. They're being sought after and kidnapped for these sacrifices on this planet by those who portray to be good, but are, Father, they're demonic. They are evil in the highest level of governments, in the military, in the business, in the crime, Lord, at the highest level, to strip away their protection at the highest level of the Wicca, the secret society members, to take away their protection. And those, Father, that the Holy Spirit can touch, that you bind that Holy Spirit to their hearts. And for those, it serves as a guide to your Son, Jesus Christ, that they may convert others, or, Father, to expose the evil of the ones they worked for. Father, we call upon you to silence the voices in the heads of those veterans, to tear down the psychotropic drugs, the effects, and tear down the technology that's causing it. Father, to bring awareness to those watchmen, Father, to step out and start speaking out to the churches. Father, in these things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You know, the demonic realm exists. They are so stripped down the principles that God has set up down to a science. It's called physics. Science does not come from God. God created science. He created the principles necessary. But Satan, over a period of ages, knew the secrets, tried the secrets, but he couldn't do them without mankind. Been using mankind ever since. Hopis, Mayans, Roman Catholic Church, he just goes and goes. There's gaps in our history that nobody talks about, mainly because a lot of history is wiped out during a period of almost 1,000 years. There's a gap. There's gaps in history that aren't discussed or talked about or even written about. A massive upheaval of the Earth's crust occurred sometime after the days of Prelig, 10 generations, give or take, after Nimrod. Well, there's no history. But we know that some major events took place that are not written down. Alchemy does alter matter. Alchemy is the demonic realm's ability to manipulate God's creation. Now, sickness, a lot of it comes from different places. We go back to demons. People don't like talking about demons. But demons is what's going on down here on this earth, in the second heaven. But demons recognize and they obey those that have power over them. You know, when Jesus was met by those who were demon-possessed in the Bible? See, I've been talking about this for 5 years, that the churches are just giving lukewarm lessons. Everybody just sits around and they give money in the pot, which that's another issue. They always come on Saturday or Sunday, whichever. Any day is a Sabbath that you pick on your own. That's another story. And they listen to a preacher who's probably, in a lot of cases, controlled by the 501c3, or he's a Freemason himself, or he's controlled by the National Council of Churches, etc., etc. Mega churches, rock and roll music, so on and so on. And they give these lukewarm, watered-down lessons. And those that do have invitations, it's lukewarm as well. Never talk about hell. Don't talk about the millennium of what's to come. Notice that. And they certainly don't talk about spiritual warfare and demonic influence. I read an article this afternoon called something about the churches ignoring the elephant in the room. They don't talk about the UFO lie that's coming. They don't talk about the demonic realm, the extraterrestrial facade hoax that's coming. They don't talk about any of that. Very seldom spiritual warfare. Now, is this all of them? Not all of them, but I'd say 90% plus, actually. David Wilkerson was certainly not one. That's one reason why, if you look at his situation of his death, it's very, very questionable. Matter of fact, from taking a look at it, it's highly likely he was murdered because he was powerful. He would not bow down like Billy Graham and all the rest of them have. He was special. He never bowed down to them. He talked about repentance. He talked about healing. He talked about all that. The demons cried out. They said, "We know who you are. You're the Son of God." There are words to that effect. Some similar statement to that. And they've never changed. In a story, the lady said to Miss Osborne, "I know who you are, and I don't want to have a thing to do with you." Well, the old woman said, "I know you. They told me this morning that I would be met by a true servant of the Most High God." Well, these happen occasionally. It was so also in Paul's ministry. 7 sons of Sceva took upon them to call upon over them which had evil spirits in the name of Lord Jesus, and saying, "We adjourn you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." Now the evil spirit answered back to him and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" Well, that was the last word, because the man whom the evil spirit was leaped upon them overcame all these 7 sons, prevailed against them because they were not prepared. So they fled out of the house naked and wounded, Acts 19:13-16. They picked on a demon they weren't ready for. Demons of the second heaven you don't mess with unless you're prayed up and fasted. This is proof that demons know who has power over them. They know that Jesus, and they knew Paul. But for these seven sons of Sceva, they tried to cast them out just for the attention that they would receive. God knew the heart, did not give them the power. The demons mocked them and completely overcame them physically. Can you imagine? Stripped them. Cut them. Scared the dickens out of them. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost are all one. It's a dimension called Trinity. Well, you don't find the Trinity in the Bible, and it came up Constantine was the inventor of it, and Trinity doesn't exist. Really? You want to read 1 John 5:7? You don't have the word Bible in the Bible. Trinity is a name that describes God, the Father, the Son, Holy Ghost as one. It describes them. They've just turned it around. Acts 10:38. So it is the Holy Ghost who said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Acts 13:2. So the two persons that the devils acknowledged were both anointed with the Holy Ghost. The power of God. So the devil knows these by the mark they're given supernaturally and obeys them. A mark we can't see. But these accounts, these occasions, is a warning. Don't play with the devil. Ouija board, horoscopes, all these kind of things. None of that. You join Freemasonry, or your great-great-grandfather did, he'll carry it down to you. Every true believer has been given power and authority over all devils. Should never fear nor hesitate to execute this authority. So they want to cause you fear, cause you to back down. Oh, I just can't do it. I'm no good. I can't. You're fat and ugly. You're black. You're a country. You don't talk right. Whatever, they come all kinds of ways. That's what the Miss America pageants are all about, political. Demean people. Think about it for a minute. I mean, really, what's the purpose of Miss America? Does she represent America? No. And Miss World and all that? No. They use them for political, economic, sociological purposes. That's what it's for. And then to compare a whole nation, depends whatever nation it is, that's the perfect one. So, what about the others that watch it? That means I'm not so perfect, I'm no good. That's the purpose of this stupid Miss America nonsense. Now they got Miss Teenage. Now they got Miss Winnie Teeny or whatever. I don't know. 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds that dress up. What in the world are we doing? But we know what. To cause you fear and to feel like you're not worth much. To take away your power. I say take it back. That you are something from the inside. But through Jesus Christ. We're not gods running around here. Brazier, T.D. Jakes, Joyce Myers, Copeland. They're wrong. We're not gods in the making. They all say we are. That's what the word faith theology is all about. All religions, including Christianity and its many different sects. Get out of religion. Get with Jesus. You know, I could mention here, and I will, to the joy of every believer, that Mary Magdalene was possessed of 7 devils. Yet one man, anointed of God, cast out all 7 devils. On the contrary, there were 7 men, none of them God anointed servants, and all 7 couldn't cast out even one devil. But the one devil overcame all 7 men, so they fled naked, as we say here in North Carolina, and wounded up. They were cut up and beat up. Even disciples at one time could not cast out devils. Jesus came up, cast the devil out. You here before our time? Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you here before our time? Are you here to torment us before our time? They know their time's coming. They pulled him off the side. How'd you do that? We tried, we couldn't do it. How'd you do that? They still didn't know who it was. Matthew 17:21. Howbeit, this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. He told you, prayer and fasting. Not just prayer, like Mark 9:50 says. And they've taken out the Matthew 17:21 out of three of the Bibles. King James is still there. They took that out. They don't want you to know that. By prayer and fasting, you take out the strong man demon. Prayer and fasting. All in one accord. It proves that all of man's strength and wisdom is helpless in the fight against humanity's adversary. Who's that? The devil. He's real. He's not a representation of evil. He's an entity that exists in the second heaven of a different vibrational frequency you can't see unless he's manifested, which happens at certain Wesak festivals. And when enough pain and death and destruction is caused, they absorb that energy somehow or another and can manifest. Power comes from hurricanes, tornadoes. What do you think that comes from? It's energy and power producing it. They somehow absorb that to be able to cross over into this realm. But you know, all the devils in hell are helpless against one true believer who's anointed of God and proves clearly that demons recognize and obey those who have power over them. Which brings me to the next point. Demons are, in many cases, the cause of some diseases. This fact is shown in Scripture as well, and fully understood, they serve as a great kind of upbuilding into the faith, this faith in God for divine healing. In one case I read about, as a minister who was present at a certain evening, many decades ago, as this is related to by T.L. Osborne, I found it. He said that he preached on the relation of demons to disease. And the person said, Reverend Osborne, the message tonight has helped me more than any, quote, I have ever heard, to have faith in God for the healing of all our diseases, knowing that disease is Satan's attack on our bodies, rather than God's blessing. I'm ready to resist Satan's work, rebuke him, and take my dominion over him. Well, in that particular story, when you read it about it, that minister's life was changed from that hour on. And Osborne's life and ministry was transformed the night that his wife came to him from this Reverend Branham's healing campaign, and he told him about his message and the work of demons and diseases. You see, Reverend Branham, B-R-A-N-H-A-M, he explained it, that every disease has a life, a germ that causes it to function. That evil life is the germ, and the germ did not come from God, because it kills, it destroys human life. It is from Satan. So it is that evil life or that spirit of infirmity that gives life to disease or the growth. Those viruses are alive. Demons are little specks of light. Also, there's movies and TV and all that stuff. Halloween, what are they? Frankenstein, oh, it's alive, you know, whatever. Or you got Freddy, or you got the Walking Dead or whatever, or you got, you know, the demon with a horn thing going on and all this stuff. They're life size or giants, whatever. No. They're little specks of light, demons are, that can manifest hallucinations and images. and also give you hallucinations when they come inside you. And the pineal gland, let's get exact about it, that cause you to see these things can manifest themselves. So as your spirit gives life to your body, just as your body, when the spirit leaves, it dies. So in James 2:26, what does that say? King James Bible. Yeah, I'm going to analyze. Let's get down to this, man. Let's analyze this sucker. Let's see what we got tonight. To find out what's really going on. 2:26. For the body without the spirit is dead. So faith without works is dead also. Returns to dust. So your disease, when the spirit of infirmity is cast out, it dies and disappears. You know, we all grew from a tiny germ. Y'all thought it was a monkey, didn't you? Other places think it's a worm. Another place thought it was a virus. That would be a germ, wouldn't it? Maybe they're more right than ever. The life of that germ came from God, though. We're not talking about the same kind of germ here. The body living by the germ or spirit of life caused God to exist, grew, and developed until it became a complete human body. I sort of talked about that today when I talked about cloning. So as long as that life or spirit remains in the body continues to live. That's in your pineal gland. Let's get exact about that little pine cone thing in the center of your brain. But as soon as that spirit leaves the body dies, decays, returns to dust. So this Reverend Branham, he said, even so many afflictions begin with a tiny germ, an evil life, satanic life, sent to live in and possess the human body and destroy it through some terrible disease. As long as a life or spirit of infirmity exists in the body, the growth or disease lives on and continues its destructive work. But as soon as the evil spirit or life or spirit of the infirmity has been cast out of the body in Jesus' name, that disease or growth becomes dead. It will decay and pass away from the body. This is a process of healing. Son of a gun. The life of the disease or growth is rebuked and cast out. Then the effects of the disease or growth pass away in a short time. So, when one is healed by a miracle, the complete work is instantly wrought by the power of God. Now, woohoo, that spirit's moving tonight. I got to tell you that right now. Something I learned today in my research. Son of a gun. Well. Well, look at there. A force once in existence cannot be annihilated. Energy from God is constant. That's why I have eternal punishment. Information from God, not energy, is the prime mover of life. Now, the forces of darkness and channels of demons, they need a small electrical charge to make use of strong electrical fields existing in your cells. I learned four things today I didn't recognize till now that they're all at the same time what I needed for tonight. I had no idea. This is all divided and just came together just now. So, not into the cell. So when you're ill, the demon can swallow your cell and get trapped. Ran nonstop, infected your cell, kind of burns the candle both ends. It's like you have power, then your cell goes out. So when they do that Duncan thing with the water over the head, satanic ritual, I'm sorry, but it is. Or they burn themselves with that taser. What's significant there? Or they get slapped in the face. That's what's going on now. These are fads. A slap fad. That's nuts. But that's what they're doing. They're lining up to get slapped. People lining up, like getting a tattoo, they're lining up to get tased. And then they have it where the picture of their tased face is given to them. And then these are throwing cold water. Oh, it's cold. Wow. What happens? What happens in war when you're fighting and you jump out, fix bayonets, and you're killing, getting killed or killing someone else? Where's the emotion that's there? What about rape? What about all this? What's significant? It's human drama. What does human drama do? It generates power and energy. It's all the same. Son of a gun. That's how it works. Isn't that a hoot? So, and they somehow absorb that. So these afflictions begin from a tiny germ, evil life, satanic life, sent to live in, possess the human body, and then destroy it through some terrible disease. So the same thing goes with magicians. When they do possession, they get possessed, not demonized, but possessed. Their cells are taken over. That changes their DNA. They're able to make things happen, but it's not them. So when the demon says, okay, I'm done, bye-bye, he leaves them, they die. Or they kill themselves or something. That's what's going on today. Son of a gun. When that evil spirit, life, spirit of the infirmity, whatever has been cast out of the body in Jesus' name, that disease or growth, different, becomes dead, it will decay and pass away from the body. This is a process of healing. So the life of this disease or growth is rebuked and cast out. And the effects of the disease or growth pass away in a short time when one is healed by a miracle wrought by the power of God alone. Now, one example I found, I specifically looked for, was cancer. And a cancer is a living thing. Its life is satanic. Some of the cancers, diseases, are created in the laboratory. That means they do the occult rituals. Pharmakia. See, our doctors all agree that if some means could be devised to kill the cancer, to expel the life from the cancer, that the effects of the cancer would disappear from the body. But what's going on is these two lives are warring against each other. The life of the cancer and the life which is in your body are at war with each other. So, as of the present time, medical means to destroy the life of the cancer got to be of such force as to greatly injure, if not destroy, the life of the body with which the cancer lives. It's catch 22 sometimes. So what's the answer? Only faith in the supernatural power and authority of God. That's what it boils down to. And trusting his will, even if he takes the person, or that your strength and faith increase so much that it doesn't take the person, that you have a healing. That's God's will. Whichever it is, it's according to God. But according to scriptures, Jesus says, in my name shall ye cast out devils. In the name of Jesus Christ, we as Christians have the right and authority to expel the spirit, life of the cancer. It's satanic. So when the spirit or life of the cancer, which is from Satan, has departed, the cancer is dead and the effects will disappear. This Miss Osborne thing that's being used here, we're talking about Miss Osborne. She said to this person that's spoken by Reverend Branham, how she had seen the people healed. Then the whole matter began to clear up because many scriptures began to find their place in the mind of the pastors. And the ministry of deliverance was a living reality from that moment. So the conclusion is that the sickness is of the devil, and we have the power over the devil in Jesus' name. Then we call the sick. We rebuke the devil that was bound, possessed their bodies with diseases. Cast out the evil spirits of infirmity, the diseases which will die, and the sick will recover. So pray about divine healing. I ask for this on my broadcast and Bible studies for Virginia Noe. And for those we've also prayed for their conditions and situations, but mainly right now to form some prayer groups, not prayer circles, prayer groups. Praying the blood of Jesus around you in the full armor of God around Miss Virginia Noe. To start doing that. And pray for healing of special people. And also for those you know in your families as well. Of course. I don't know anybody else, but myself, I don't necessarily today in the churches today, I don't trust this laying of hands anymore. In the churches today, I don't at all. I don't trust the churches today at all. They use the wrong Bibles, and you all know the stories there. But those around you in a real church, and a real church is where two or more are gathered in His name. And not all churches now are doing this at all. They're there for other reasons. In one case cited by T.L. Osborne, he said that he knew the work was done, and he said the sick recovered in a Sunday session. And just as Jesus said it would, the people begin telling everywhere, I was prayed for and now I'm healed. I had a tumor and now it's gone. My cancer disappeared in a few hours after prayer. Stomach ulcers were healed, they all gone. So healing the sick and casting out devils, you can understand the scripture that they brought to Jesus, many possessed with devils. Notice this was the only class of people specified who were brought to the Lord. He cast out spirits with His word. Healed all that were sick, Matthew 8:16. So it inferred that the sicknesses which Jesus healed were caused by devils. He cast out the devils and healed them. What Peter said when he wrote, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went about, quote, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, Acts 10:38. It talks about, I've read, the woman who bowed over the blind and dumb man, the deaf and dumb boy, the unclean man. It talks about the fever and those that are insane, it's possession. Almost everything. But you got to live a righteous life. That means repenting of sins. Maybe fasting and praying with those others like you of like mind. And bringing together, doing God's work. Praying the blood of Jesus and full armor of God upon. sickness is satanic. And a little food for thought. Without a doubt, sickness comes from Satan. Sometimes it's created in a laboratory. It's where HIV came from. But not only does scriptures teach it, but so does common logical reasoning. If sickness is of God, then doctors would be of the devil because they're trying to get rid of sickness. If sickness is of God, then all hospitals would be houses of rebellion rather than houses of mercy. Because in seeking to get rid of the disease, they'd be rebelling against God and his alleged sickness program of depopulation. If sickness is of God, then every nurse would be defying God with every effort she made to relieve the suffering. If sickness is of God, then we should be against hospitals, nurses, doctors, medicine. Although I will tell you, a lot of the doctors and nurses are into witchcraft and Freemasonry. By the way, that would explain the vaccines, wouldn't it? Oh, that's where it's coming from. That works. Because they're putting it back out from the hospitals outside. Vaccines give them the flu. Vaccines, goodness, they've totally infiltrated the hospitals. Hospitals are supposed to get you well, but instead they're doing opposite of that. Hospice especially. They go in, I've got reports of this already recently. They go in, okay, they come out dead. Because they give them morphine and other kinds of things to kill them. Oh my. Since sickness is of Satan, certainly doctors, medicine, hospitals, and medical science, you would think would be God-given, but it's been infiltrated. This is somewhat disturbing at times to think about this way. Preachers who believe sickness is a blessing should never accept medical treatment to get rid of their disease, but rather pray that all the family and church members receive such a blessing of sickness. Those that who preach and teach all this kind of thing are anxious for the doctor to operate and remove the blessing, whether God wants them to or not. So preachers who teach that sickness is God's chastisement to his disobedient children should never recommend hospitalization. Rather, tell the sick one to receive the divine punishment in full till God saw fit to stop the chastisement of you. Then they begin to hate God, don't they? What's the purpose of it? Sneaky, isn't it? That's what they do, don't they, today? Benny Hinn, he's got that slinging coat of his, hitting people with it. Makes them fall back and get healed. Goodness gracious alive. You know how many people there, they fool. Lord have mercy, oh my. Those who teach this kind of thing are generally the first to recommend submitting to the hospital for surgery and treatment in every desperate attempt to get rid of the sickness, whether it's God's chastisement or not. So sickness is satanic, then every means of destroying it must be of God. So if God wants us to suffer for his glory, then we should rather suffer than do be well. So if it's God's will that one be sick, then that one should do nothing to interfere with God's divine will and patiently remain sick. But since sickness is of Satan, then every means of relief must be a blessing, whether it be a prayer of faith or a gift of healing. And those who serve God faithfully and who believe and trust his divine promises or medical science, for those who do not serve God, who do well to have faith in God's divine promises, it's going to heal. Now, we talk about recognizing our enemy. It is supernatural, using human servers. You You have with you the power of God's will. And I want to talk right now about the prayer of healing, and I can talk about tomorrow about some divine healing facts that I've found accumulated. But the prayer for healing . You know, there is facts that I want to relate to you. Eternal life is yours in John 3:16, Romans 6:23. And you know, Christ bore our sins so that you may be saved. 1 Peter 2:24. Divine health is yours. Exodus 15:26. Exodus 23:25. And Isaiah 53:5. And Christ bore your disease so that you may be healed. Matthew 8:17. So God's promises to supply all your needs. Psalms 37:25. And Philippians 4:19. So all authority over all devils is yours. Luke 10:19, Mark 16:17, and finally, the right to pray and receive the answer is yours. John 14:13-14, Mark 11:24, and Matthew 7, and like the store, 7-11. So the prayer for healing, when you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you're a child of God. You've been put, give the mark on you. He's going to come after you. Satan is going to come after you. Angels are there to protect you, but you must plead the blood of Jesus around you. You're a child of God and have the right to fulfillment of any and all of God's eternal promises made to his family. Hold God to his promises. You got the promises, some facts. Use them. If you need healing, you may pray now and be healed in the same way. It may be continuous, in which you've just been saved because Christ bore your diseases. And by his stripes, you were healed. It was he who forgave all thine iniquities, also healeth all thy diseases. So, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe, and in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Mark 16:17-18. So, well, every child of God who's in need of healing should take the advantage of his right in prayer. Be delivered right where they are, right where he is now. You have to go find yourself some healer or something. You are the healer. Right now, since you've kind of got an idea, some of you may already have that idea, to know your rights, act your faith, rebuke the enemy that's interfered with your health, be benefited according to the promises he gave us, who heals all the diseases. So if you're sick or physically disabled in any way, and if you believe the message of deliverance, then act on his word, act in your faith. And pray this, as we pray for Virginia Null. Heavenly Father, I thank thee that thou hast made known the truth to us, to me, to those listening, to those praying. We thank thee that Christ has redeemed us from sickness, being made sick for us, for me, that you're praying it, and that by his stripes we are healed. We're thankful that we need no more to bear our own sickness than I need to bear my sins, because thou hast revealed to me Christ is my eternal substitute, who bore both for me in my stead. And Lord, I'm so glad to know the truth, that Satan is to blame for my sickness, and that I have legal rights and all authority over all devils. Now, Father, we come exactly for Virginia Null, according to thy word, and expecting thee to keep thy word and fulfill thy promise, that I am the Lord that healeth thee. Father, we rebuke the enemy, which has caused her suffering. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we command the very cause of her sickness to leave, and every symptom to be destroyed by the divine power of our Lord. Father, we thank thee that thou hast heard this prayer and granted the answer now. We claim the promise of healing for her body now by faith in thy word. And Father, we thank thee that the very source of the sickness is destroyed, and that according to Jesus' promise, that she shall recover. In Jesus' name, we've prayed. Amen. When we've prayed, we've rebuked the source of this trouble. You need to stay fast with it. You've reckoned by faith upon the word, God's answer to prayer. Hold fast the confession of your faith without wavering. He is faithful to promises. Allow the devil to hear nothing spoken from your lips other than the confession of God's word. And allow yourself to think nothing contrary to what God's promised in his word. Anything other than you shall recover is a lie from the devil. Treat it as much and stand on God's word. Hold God to his promises. Pray on the full armor of God every day. The attacks are going to come. You know that God will only delight to make it good to you, as Abraham did. Wax strong in faith by looking to the promise. Keep the word before your eyes. Look at the promises continuously. Pray on the full armor of God. Never consider any of these symptoms that contradict the word any ground whatsoever for doubting the eternal word, because it is written. He says, I will watch over my word to perform it. Seems that we're toward the end tonight. Family, it's coming around to it. I will need to talk about insights from the armor of God, what it means, and the spiritual ramifications of each one of those insights. The girding the loins with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the sandals of peace, shield of faith, the helm of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and the casting out of demons. We can keep going and talking about this. I think I need to talk about end times too. We're at the end right now, and we covered a lot of ground, I think, tonight. And it is recorded. You can go back to it. So I appreciate the attendance tonight and those who followed up. Thank you. I'm not a theologian. I do the best I can with, I've never been to theology, schools of theology. I think I'd make it now anyway. I'd be raising my hand, asking questions all the time and say, man, I don't agree with you. You're using the wrong Bible anyway. Get that boy out of here. Where's the taser at? Don't go there. That's what I'd be doing, because they're not teaching them the right word of God anymore in the schools. And that's confirmed. They're humanist, Marxist, socialist, worldwide. I got that from many different theologians and humanists actually said themselves. That's scary. Every college and university, and public schools are schools of humanism. All of them. Charles Francis Potter, 1930, confirms it. Satan has infiltrated every step. But that's out of fear. His own fear. Family, hang in there. And trust in the Lord, thy God. Because this is going to come around. What's happening today is going to increase. A lot of people don't see that. I'm going to watch TV so I don't have to think about it no more. Someone told me that today. I ain't going to be here when it all happens, referring to rapture or whatever. I said, well, won't you instead of going on TV, won't you read the Bible? Complete shutdown. Girl behind the desk. Complete shutdown. Her head just dropped down, looked straight to the ground, and didn't say a word. And the guy standing behind me says, you got it, brother. That's right. He's right in there. It's like, wow. She's like she's been conditioned to shut down when I mentioned the Bible. Yes, she believed in God. I'm like, huh? I'm going to go to my TV and forget about it all. What? Oh, yeah, that's what she said. That's amazing. Anyway, y'all have a good night. Close in prayer. Lord, thank you tonight for bringing us together in this important message tonight, Lord. Thank you for getting me through it, Lord, that for all of us can learn, share with among each other. Father, teach us how, to show us how to deal with Satan, to get those demons out, Lord, and be able to handle them in the days to come. Father, guide us in the step of the way with the full armor of God to pray upon us. Lord, give us the words to speak, the knowledge, the wisdom, and Lord, the power. We pray upon your promises. Lord, guide us in future Bible studies. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from this evil. This I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, family, it's old country boy here. An old sinner from way back. Hope you all enjoyed tonight. Enjoyed or learned something, I hope. And stay strong. And listen to the voice of truth. But people, get ready. Because there's a time coming here. Some of these so-called truth tellers that lead us astray, some of the things they're going to be saying is going to be true. We don't know which one it is, but don't matter, really. Everybody's still worried about it. Oh, I looked in my mailbox, I got a green dot on it. Can you believe that? No red one, no yellow one, no blue one. Gee, I'm disappointed. What does a green dot mean? Anyway, it's an inside joke for those that's heard me before. People, get ready, because Jesus is coming. And don't matter when. If you're ready now, who cares? That's the way I see it. Everybody just gets all in a tither about it and argue about pre-trib, mid-trib, pre-wrath, whatever. Man, if you're ready, it don't matter. Get ready. Y'all have a good night. This is your watchman. God bless and good night. Signing off. See y'all tomorrow. Oh, don't forget that John Kirkler plays our broadcast and our Bible studies on highpointradio.net. John Kirkler, we appreciate that. Y'all have a good night. I'm gone now. Good night.